Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Well, we're talking about why Thanksgiving, talking about the Thanksgiving celebration, and why should we be thankful? We're in a nation of ingratitude today, I believe, as never before. Regardless of what God blesses us with, there's always the griping, the grumbling, the belly aching, as I call it, and complaining, that it's not enough. Perhaps you've heard the story, and may I say it, it's kind of trite, but it's true. The story of a man that was griping and complaining about his shoes, that he always wanted a different pair of shoes, and he griped and complained about his shoes until on one occasion he saw a man without feet, and he realized how thankful he ought to be that he had feet to put shoes on. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's so often the case with us today. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 5, the scripture says, "Let your moderation, that is your gentleness, your graciousness, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6, be anxious. The word anxious there, be careful, the scripture says, but means to be anxious. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. That is, for not anything, but in everything, that is literally each and everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a super simple but yet profound recipe for life and living in those two verses. We ought to allow our graciousness, our gentleness to be seen. We ought not to be anxious, worried about anything, but contrarywise, in everything, by prayer and supplication. That prayer means general prayer. Supplication means interceding prayer. That supplication is the pleading of our heart with thanksgiving. Many times we are prone to say, "Lord, give me this, give me that, give me the other. Handle this and handle that and handle the other." But we fail to simultaneously say, "Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for answering it. Thank you for whatever you do. I'm going to praise you and thank you anyway." Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, why Thanksgiving? We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is the theology and Bible professor in Conservative Theological University. We have the privilege to share with you from the Word of God what the Bible says about Thanksgiving. I've said before, and let me repeat a couple of those points. We need to be thankful for the material blessings that God gives us. You find that very, very poignantly stated in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12 through 14. We need to show thankfulness for our family and for our friends, Philippians 1 and verse 3, and 1 Corinthians 1, 4. There ought to be thankfulness for our health. There are people today that do not have the health and the ability to move about. But if we do, whatever modicum of health we have, whatever level of health we have, we need to be thankful. There ought to be thankfulness for our trials and persecutions. James 1, verse 2 and 3 tells us, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Dr. Phelps, before we ask you to pick up at that point, let me just share with our listeners, if you have an opportunity to read in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel, the king was tricked into signing a law that required everybody to pray to the king for the next 30 days. The death warrant was signed. If you put it in the, how would you say, the vernacular, the Gazette, the Daily Gazette, stated big headlines that anyone does not pray to the emperor would be put to death. Daniel, I'm sure, knew that. Daniel, we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us how Daniel found that out. But Daniel knew that that law had been signed into order, signed into being. But yet the scripture says in the 10th verse of the 6th chapter of Daniel, that Daniel went to his room, looking out over the city. And he knelt down with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down upon his knees and prayed and thanked the Lord as he had aforetime. He didn't have to have an emergency prayer meeting. He was simply doing what Daniel normally would do, and that is to pray and thank the Lord. And as a result of that, as I've said so many times, I'm sure the FBI and the CIA and the DNA, DNI, and John Brennan and John Clapper and the others in the FBI and the CIA had already searched through his garbage can. They checked all of his emails and his Twitter account and his other social media. They were trying to find a way to put him out of the picture because he was one of the key leaders in the kingdom of that day that the king had determined, because he was faithful, he was faultless, and he was friendly, as you look at the sixth chapter of Daniel. And so they were able then to find fault with him finally, and that was between Daniel and his God, because Daniel continued to pray. And you know the rest of the story. God honored that, and God blessed him and protected him as a result of his faithfulness. But even in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the persecution, Daniel still prayed before the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that I believe is a good lesson for us today that we need to take to heart and recognize that even in the midst of problems and trials and tribulations and persecutions, that we still need to pray and praise the Lord and thank him for it. Go back at your leisure and read James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Go back in your leisure and read the entire chapter, sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, in particular the 10th verse of Daniel in the sixth chapter. It is amazing what God says to us in relationship to how we ought to thank him. Dr. Phelps, continue to share your thoughts for our listeners today about why Thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful? What kind of heart is a thankful heart?
One of the things we find is that the book of Psalms and David's Psalms, this one I'm looking at is Psalm 103. I believe one of the reasons why David was the man after God's own heart was that he was thankful. Mm-hmm. David praised the Lord. He was grateful. And I want to read Psalm 103, a few verses. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And so from those verses, I realize that I need to be thankful for health and healing. I need to be thankful for the way that God takes care of me and for life and breath. It was the Apostle Paul who told a crowd at Athens who were not inclined to worship and give praise to the true and living God. He said that God gives us life and breath in all things. And if we would realize that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so we should express our thanksgiving to God. I thank God every day for life and breath. That's what Paul was talking about. And so let me continue talking about some things for which we should be thankful. I'm so thankful for a great high priest who is for us in heaven. The book of Hebrews chapter 8 talks about our great high priest, God's Son, who is risen, set down in heaven, and there he is interceding for us. And so we have the admonition in the book of Hebrews to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And as I said earlier, because we've received Jesus as our personal Savior, we're accepted in God's presence before his throne. So we can enter into God's presence with thanksgiving and with gladness, with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his holy name, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Another thing for which I am so thankful is for God's heavenly love. John 3:16 and many, many places in our New Testament, we're told about that sacrificial love of God. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son that we might live through him.
Amen.
And so that's 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. All of that chapter talks about the great love of God, God's great love, wherewith he loved us enough to send his Son to be our Savior. Another thing for which I'm thankful is that we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says that being justified, we have peace with God. How is that made possible? The answer is Jesus made peace by the shedding of blood at Calvary. Colossians 1:20 is a passage that talks about how he made peace. Now we're reconciled to God. We were enemies. Now we're friends. And we have this privilege of fellowship. The word peace, whenever you see that in Paul's salutations throughout the New Testament, means that we have fellowship with God now. There was a time when we didn't. We were so far removed from God. We were like far off, foreigners. We were like those who are out of the country. They're out of country kind of people, or those people who do not belong to this nation. But we're now part of the nation of God. In fact, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we are fellow heirs with the saints. Yes. And the household of God. So I'm so thankful that he made peace for us. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, of course, you don't have peace with God. But he made peace, and it's available to all those who will come to God by him. I'm so thankful for a home and family. I think of the home as a safe haven for the family, the people of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4 talks about this family haven that we have, the safe haven, the home, where there's a father and mother and children. And I'm so thankful for a hope for things to come. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says we can be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a Savior who is coming again. I'm so thankful for that. The Bible says that we have the hope in Christ that Jesus will come and we will be with him where he is. So I'm so thankful for the promises of God that have fulfillment in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So thankful for a hiding place. The Bible gives us many promises in the Old Testament. That's one of the values of having the Old Testament. You have the whole counsel of God. You have so many things that are promised to those who are believers, to those who are the people of God. Listen to this. David again says to the Lord, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Think about that. That's Psalm 32, verse 7. We have a hiding place in the Lord. Other places in the scripture speak of that as being a secret place. Psalm 91, verse 1. And in many places in the scripture, we're told that we have a safe place to be. And of course, that's in Christ, in him, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this verse, Psalm 91, verse 1. "He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I believe that means in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're safe from the storm of the wrath of God to come.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned into Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That dial-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to share some things that you're thankful for in this Thanksgiving season, feel free to call that number, 831-0917. If you have questions or comments or dialogue and discussion that you want to join in this broadcast today, feel free to do so. We're talking about why Thanksgiving. Why should we celebrate Thanksgiving? We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is theology and Bible professor at Conservative Theological University. We have this wonderful privilege of just having dialogue and discussion about Thanksgiving and thankfulness and why we should be thankful. We should be thankful, and there should be thankfulness for God's presence and his power in a darkened world. The scripture says in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, that the Lord Jesus Christ is all-powerful, that he is in total control. I've said, Dr. Phelps, so many times, if I didn't believe that God is still in control and he's still on the throne, if I didn't believe that he is sovereignly in control, I'd not want to get up in the morning. You see, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of how dark it may seem, how difficult it may be viewed, how desperate things may seem to get, we need to remember that God is still in control. He's not going on vacation. He's not hiding. He's not impotent. He is not sick. He is not sitting in the colonnade heaven looking down and wondering what in the world happened to this old world. He's in control. And as a result of that, we need to praise him and thank him for his sovereign control in a world that seems to be totally out of control. Thankfulness for his presence and for his power. We need to be thankful that he gives us victory in life struggles. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of the greatest classic texts in all the Bible about resurrection. And you look at the last few verses, 57 and 58 in particular, and it talks about the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus. And we need to recognize that we have that victory only because of a relationship to Jesus Christ, through Jesus to God the Father. Dr. Phelps, there are many people that may be listening today that are not, do not have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. They may not have that grasp on the scriptures we're talking about today. They may feel forlorn and forgotten, and somehow, some way, they do not have that strength and encouragement to be thankful, even in difficult times. What would your advice be? What would you say to that person that's listening today that perhaps is not able to be thankful because they do not have that relationship to God through Jesus? What would your answer be to that one crying out, well, I need to have that relationship? What would you say to that person?
I would say to that person, consider scriptures and the great promises of the Word of God. Jesus came into this world to save sinners like me and you. He came into the world, the Bible says, and the world knew him not. There were some who didn't recognize Jesus, who he was, but realize that God sent his Son, and he came into this world. The world was made by him, but the world didn't recognize him. They knew him not. But the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, or authority, to become the sons of God. And that we're born into the family of God when we receive him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you please follow this advice, this instruction? Read this book in the Bible called the Book of John, the Gospel of John, and consider who Jesus is, and know that he came for that purpose of reconciling us to God so that we could become the people of God, the children of God, and have the hope of eternal life. God says in 1 John, the epistle, 1 John, this is a record that God's given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have him, you don't have life. So I would urge you to believe God, believe the promises that he's given concerning our salvation that's available to us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you receive him into your heart and life? It will make a difference in now, that is, this hour, this time, and also for eternity to come.
Dr. Phelps, that's well stated. In fact, I believe that thankfulness is a growth, a development that gives us the assurance and the strength. And that thankfulness, I believe, grows out of our faith and trust in God through Jesus Christ. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth through, though it be tried with the might be found under the praise and honor of God at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Literally, that we have the if we have that faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can understand that our thankfulness grows, it develops, it matures as a result of our relationship to God through Jesus Christ as we go through those trials and tribulations. There ought to be thankfulness. Thankfulness, I believe, Dr. Phelps, is obedience to God's word, because in Colossians 3:15 it says, "Be ye thankful."
Yes.
That's in the imperative voice in the Greek text, and that simply means it's a command. So if you're saved today and you're griping and bemoaning and bellyaching everything that happens to you in life, put it aside, because the scripture is very clear that it is commanded of God, "Be ye thankful." And so we need to be thankful, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful. I tell folks that, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I go to bed each night and I say, "Thank you, Lord, for the day and allowing me to serve you." I wake up in the morning saying, "Thank you, Lord, for waking me up." Do you realize there are many folks that did not awaken this morning?
Yeah.
We awaken as a result of God's sovereign control. So I am thankful today for my health, for my wife. I'm thankful for a wife that loves me and that cares for me. I'm thankful for a wife that is a staple in the family. She loves the Lord and serves the Lord. I'm thankful for my family, my four sons, 10 grandchildren, and one great-grandson. I'm thankful for our church and for the privilege we have of worshiping Him. Dr. Phelps, I'm thankful for the Bible, the
Amen.
Word of God,
Amen.
And for God's promises throughout the Scripture for us. Continue to share with our listeners today, Dr. Phelps, other reasons why we should be thankful.
At the beginning of the broadcast, there was a mention of Thanksgiving Day, when people think that that's just a day to have turkey. Well, we should give thanks always, according to Ephesians 5:20. And one of the things that I believe we need to do every day is be thankful that we have food and raiment. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to read a couple of verses. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Underscore that word, contentment. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." And so that's the reason we should give thanks, because it shows contentment on our part. And in my case, in my life, I'm convinced that God has preserved my life to this day because I've been content.
Amen.
Contentment is a great, great blessing in my life. So God tells us elsewhere, Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation," that means your manner of life, "be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you."
So that's what we're thankful for right there.
Yes, right there. That's enough right there. So that's one of the things I think we need to consider, being thankful that we just have food and raiment. And I have a house that's comfortable as well. God has given me a place of shelter from the elements. And I'm told in the scripture that God provides for us. He takes care of the little sparrow, and my Heavenly Father watches over me.
Dr. Phelps, I have an article here, and I'll not take time for the reading of the total article, but it says, "Be thankful, colon. Science says gratitude is good for your health." Listen to a couple of brief paragraphs in this. If you need one more reason to be thankful, here it is. "More and more researchers are finding that gratitude doesn't just make you feel like a better person, it's actually good for your health." Goes further to say, "Clinical trials indicate that the practice of gratitude can have dramatic and lasting effects in a person's life. It can lower blood pressure, improve immune function, and facilitate more efficient sleep." In one recent study at the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine, found that the people who were more grateful actually had better heart health, specifically less inflammation, and healthier heart rhythm. Quote, "They showed a better well-being, a less depressed mood, less fatigue, and greater better sleep, end Amen. Quote. So it pays, ladies and gentlemen, to be thankful. In fact, based on the medical science and the research there in the article that I just gave you a blurb from, it should be a challenge to every one of us to be thankful. It allows us to live longer and healthier. And so there is a great abundant reward for being thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful, Dr. Phelps, for the privilege of serving him. Yes. I'm thankful for the privilege of having a listening audience, multitudes listening every day that we'll never meet in person, but we have the privilege of impacting lives for eternity. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, for our president, contrary to what they've done and they're doing in Washington. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to be thankful because of what the scripture says in its challenge and command to us, be ye thankful. Dr. Phelps, perhaps you heard those about the grumble and gripe and bellyache and complain about every little thing. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to bring everything before the Lord with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving for him to respond to our petitions before him. Dr. Phelps, share with us briefly. We've got about a minute and a half left on this broadcast today. Take a moment, and then I'll wrap it up for today's broadcast.
One of the things I'm so thankful for is I have a sovereign on my side.
Yes.
I have the God of heaven who helps me. Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And the psalmist said in Psalm 118 and verse number 6, something that I'd like to share with you. He said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And so we certainly have the help that we need from above. And I don't know about you, but I need help every day.
Yes, sirree. In fact, I'll close the broadcast, Dr. Phelps, with this statement. Some are familiar with the name George Mueller. George Mueller of Bristol had a boys' home, and on one occasion he sat down with the tables all set with the forks and the spoons and the plates. There was no food on the table. And he said, boys, let's thank God for the food that we're about to eat. The boys wondered what was happening. As soon as they finished thanking God for that meal, a knock comes on the door. The ladies' home circle was there at the door, and they said, Mr. Mueller, we know that you have boys to feed, and we had a lot of food left over from our circle meeting. Would you allow us to give this to you for your boys to eat? Ladies and gentlemen, that was thanking God in advance what God provided for that meal. That's what we ought to do today. Be thankful.
Thank you. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.